Praise the Lord. So now we have come to the sermon of today, and it is a sermon by the great preacher J.C. Ryle, or I should say, it's more like an article which actually reads very, very well as a sermon. And it is on the very, very important topic of private prayer. But before we go to God's word, let us go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you praise. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we as your people, despite these difficulties, still have the opportunity to gather online, still have the opportunity to feast on your word online, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that to meet physically, and we pray, Father, that you will restore this to us again very soon. But Father, when it's not possible, we thank you that you have provided us with this opportunity, and we pray, Father, despite the difficulties, we pray that your word will come to us today to encourage us and to rebuke us, to exhort us and to build us up. This we pray, O Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, as I said, the sermon today is by J.C. Ryle, and it is on the very important topic of private prayer. And it's based on the text found in Luke 18:1. Very short quote, men always ought to pray. Men always ought to pray. And also 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, I desire that the men pray everywhere. Now, prayer is the most important subject in living the Christian life. Other things are very important: reading the Bible, observing the Lord's Day, attending church, hearing sermons, and going to the Lord's table. But none of these is as important as private prayer. I want to give you 7 reasons why I say this, and I ask you to consider them very carefully. The first reason: prayer is absolutely necessary. Prayer is absolutely necessary to our salvation. Of course, I'm not speaking about infants, but about those who call themselves Christians. No one who professes to be a Christian can be saved without praying. I hold as strongly as anyone that salvation is God's free gift. I would speak to the greatest sinner who ever lived, even if he were old and dying, and say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, even now, and you will be saved. But I cannot find that the Bible teaches that anyone will be saved without asking to be. Although nobody will be saved by merit of his prayers, nobody will be saved without prayer. It is not absolutely necessary for salvation that someone should read the Bible. He may never have learned to read or be blind and yet have Christ. A deaf man or someone who lives where the gospel is not preached may be saved without hearing the gospel publicly preached, but no one can be saved without praying. There are certain things which everyone must do for himself. Everybody has to attend to the needs of his own body and his own mind. Nobody else can do your eating, drinking, or sleeping for you. And if you want to know something, nobody else can do your learning for you. And it is the same with your spiritual needs. Nobody else can repent for you. Nobody else can come to Christ for you. And nobody else can do your praying for you. You yourself must pray. We get to know people in this world by speaking with them. If we don't speak to them, we don't get to know them. Similarly, we cannot get to know God without praying to him. And if we do not know him, we certainly shall not be saved by him. One day, heaven will be thronged with a multitude which no one could number. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. But all these people will sing with one heart and one voice. Their experience will have been the same. Each one will have believed in Christ. Each one will have been washed in his blood. Each one will have been born again. And each one will have prayed. Unless we pray on earth, we shall never praise in heaven. In short, then, to be prayerless is to be without God, without Christ, without grace, without hope, and without heaven. It is to be on the road to hell. Now, the second reason why prayer is so important is that prayer is one of the surest marks of a Christian. The habit of prayer is one of the surest marks of a true Christian. There is one respect in which all God's children on earth are alike. They all pray. The first sign of life in a newborn infant is that it breathes. In the same way, the first act of the newborn Christian is to pray. Just as it is part of a child's nature to cry, so it is part of the Christian's nature to pray. He sees his need of mercy and grace. He feels his emptiness and weakness. Therefore, he feels that he must pray. I cannot find in the Bible even one of God's people who was not a man of prayer. It is characteristic of God's people that they call on the Father, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. And they call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Whereas it is the characteristic of the wicked that they do not call on the Lord, Psalm 14 verse 4. I have also read the lives of many outstanding Christians who have lived since the Bible was written. They have differed in all kinds of ways, but one thing they all had in common, they have all been people of prayer. I know quite well, of course, that a man may pray insincerely. The mere fact that a man prays proves nothing about his spiritual state, for he may simply be a hypocrite. But this I can say with certainty. Not praying is a clear proof that a man is not yet a true Christian. Clearly, he does not really feel his sins, or love God, or feel his debt of gratitude to Christ, or long to be holy. However much he may talk about religion, he cannot be a true Christian if he does not pray. Let me also say that the habit of heartfelt private prayer is one of the best evidences that the Holy Spirit has really worked in a person's life. A man may preach or write books or do all kinds of other things from quite wrong motives, but a man will seldom get alone by himself and pour out his soul to God in private unless he is sincere. God himself has taught us that this is the best proof of a real conversion. For when he told Ananias to go see Saul in Damascus, the only evidence he mentioned that Paul had undergone a real change of heart was this: he is praying. Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. I know, of course, that many people come to faith slowly. They may go through many convictions, desires, feelings, resolves, hopes and fears. But all these things can come to nothing. A real, heartfelt prayer flowing from a broken and penitent spirit is worth all these things put together. The first act when we have real faith will be to speak to God. Prayer is to faith what breath is to life. Just as we cannot live without breathing, we cannot believe in Christ without praying. Third point. Prayer is the most neglected Christian duty. No Christian duty is neglected as much as private prayer. I used to think that most people who call themselves Christians prayed. But I have come to a different conclusion now. I believe that the great majority who say they are Christians never pray at all. Prayer is a strictly private matter between God and us, which no one else sees, and therefore there is a great temptation not to bother. I believe that many never say a single word of prayer at all. They eat and drink, sleep and wake, live on God's earth and enjoy His mercies. They have bodies which must die, and they have the day of judgment and eternity ahead of them. Yet, for all this, they never speak to God. They live as though they were animals rather than men with never dying souls. I believe that for many more, prayer is nothing more than a form of words. Some use set patterns of words without any sincere feelings for the things they say. Even when the pattern is a good one, like the Lord's Prayer, many rush through it without really thinking about it. We may be sure that God does not call this praying, even if men do. Prayer involves much more than words spoken with our lips. It involves our hearts, or it is not real prayer. No doubt Saul of Tarsus had said many long prayers before the Lord met him on the way to Damascus, but it was only when his heart had been broken that the Lord said, "He is praying." If you find all this very surprising, consider the following facts. It is not natural to pray. The natural desire of our hearts is to get away from God. We do not naturally love Him, but fear Him. And by nature, we have no sense of sin, or feeling of our spiritual needs, or faith in things we cannot see. We do not naturally desire to be holy. For these reasons, men do not naturally pray. It is not popular to pray. All kinds of worldly activities are popular among men, but prayer is not popular, and many would do almost anything rather than admit publicly that they were in the habit of praying. In the light of these facts, I believe that few people pray. Consider also the lives that many people lead. When we see men plunging into sin, can we believe that they are praying constantly against sin? When we see men wholly taken up with the things of the world, can we think that they are regularly asking God for grace to serve Him? How can they be when they show no interest in Him at all? Praying and sinning will never live together in the same heart. Prayer will choke sin, or sin will choke prayer. When I remember this and then look at men's lives, I believe that few people pray. Consider also the deaths that many people die. Many dying people seem to be complete strangers to God. They lack the ability to speak to Him. They give the distinct impression they have never really talked to him before. What I have seen for myself of dying people convinces me that few people pray. The fourth point for us to consider is that we have great encouragements to pray. We have more encouragements to prayer than we have to any other Christian duty. God has done everything necessary to make prayer easy if only we will attempt it. He has provided for every difficulty so that there is no excuse for us if we do not pray. There is a way by which any man, however sinful and unworthy, may draw near to God the Father. Jesus Christ has opened that way by his sacrifice for us on the cross. God's holiness and justice need not frighten sinners away. Rather, let them cry to God in the name of Jesus. Let them plead the fact that his blood has made atonement for sin, and they will find God willing and ready to hear. The name of Jesus unfailingly ensures that God will hear our prayers. In his name, we may draw near to God with boldness and pray with confidence. And God has promised to hear. Is this not a great encouragement to pray? There is an advocate and intercessor always waiting to present the prayers of those who will make use of him. He presents our prayers before the throne of God. Our prayers are feeble in themselves, but when presented by the Lord Jesus, they are effective. And his ear is always open to the cry of all those who want mercy and grace. Is this not a great encouragement to pray? There is the Holy Spirit who is always ready to help us in prayer. For this is one part of his office, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. He is the Spirit of grace and supplication, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. We have only to seek his assistance. There are great and precious promises to those who pray. Just read Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8. And chapter 21 and verse 20 and verse 22. And read John chapter 14 verse 13 to 14. Or Luke chapter 11 verse 5 to 13. And chapter 18 and verse 1 through 8. Write these passages down and ponder over them. I'll repeat them again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. And Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 13. And Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. Think over these passages, for they contain the greatest possible encouragements to pray. There are wonderful examples in the scripture of the power of prayer. Prayer opened the Red Sea. It brought water from the rock. It made the sun stand still. Things which were impossible by any other means were done by prayer. What greater encouragement could you look for than these things? Or what greater folly could there be than to neglect prayer in spite of all this encouragement? Fifth point, prayer is the secret of holiness. Diligence in prayer is the secret of eminent holiness. Without doubt, there is a great deal of difference between the achievements of true Christians. how much more progress some make than others. Some who are truly converted seem to remain spiritual babies all their lives. From one year to another, they do not seem to grow. They are troubled by the same besetting sins. They still need the milk of the word rather than strong meat. Their spiritual interests remain narrow and confined to their own little circle. But there are others who are always growing, always advancing in the Christian life. They grow in faith. They grow in good works. They attempt great things and do great things. When they fail, they try again. When they fall, they soon rise again. They think of themselves as poor and unprofitable servants. Yet they are the people whose lives commend the Christian faith to others. Now, how can we explain this difference among the Lord's people? Why are some so much holier than others? I believe the difference in 19 cases out of 20 arises from the different habits about private prayer. I believe that those who are not eminently holy pray only a little, while those who are eminently holy pray a great deal. I believe that once someone is converted to God, whether or not he becomes eminently holy depends chiefly on his diligence in the use of those means which God has appointed. And the main means by which believers have advanced in holiness is the habit of diligent private prayer. Read the lives of great servants of God, and you will see that this is true. No Christian became a great Christian without becoming a man of prayer. If you wish to grow as a Christian, you must learn the value of private prayer. Sixth point, the neglect of prayer causes backsliding. Neglect of prayer is one great cause of backsliding. It is possible to go backwards in the Christian life after making a good start. The Galatian Christians progressed well for a time and then turned aside after false teachers. Peter loudly proclaimed his love for the Lord, but in a time of trial denied him. And to be a backslider is miserable. It is one of the worst things that can happen to a man. I know that real grace in a man cannot be destroyed. I know that the true union with Christ cannot be broken. But I believe that a man may fall away so far that he loses sight of his Christian standing and despairs of his own salvation. And this is the nearest thing to hell. A wounded conscience, a mind sick of itself, a memory full of self-reproach, a heart pierced through with the Lord's arrows, a spirit broken with a load of inward accusation. All this is a taste of hell. Consider the solemn words. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider of heart shall be filled with his own ways. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. Now, what is the cause of most backsliding? I believe it is generally caused by neglect of private prayer. It is my considered opinion, and I repeat it, that backsliding generally begins with neglect of private prayer. Prayerlessness in daily life and decision-making has led many Christians into a condition of spiritual paralysis, or to the point where God has allowed them to fall badly into sin. We may be sure that men fall in private long before they fall in public. Like Peter, they first neglect the Lord's warning to watch and pray. And then, like Peter, their strength is gone, and when temptation comes, they fall into sin. The world then takes notice of their fall and scoffs. But the world does not recognize the real reason, which is prayerlessness. If you are a Christian and you are reading the Bible, I hope that you never become a backslider. But if you wish to avoid this, be careful about your praying. Seventh point, last point. Prayer obtains happiness and contentment. Prayer is one of the surest ways of obtaining happiness and contentment. This world is a world of sorrow. Ever since sin entered it, it has been impossible for anyone completely to escape sorrows of one kind or another. Now, the best way to cope with this is by taking everything to God in prayer. In the Old Testament, we read, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you." Psalm 55 and verse 22. In the New Testament, we read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 to 7. This has been the practice of God's people in all ages. When Jacob was in great fear of his brother Esau, he prayed. Genesis 32, verse 22 to 32. When Paul and Silas were thrown into prison at Philippi, they prayed. Acts chapter 16, verse 23 to 25. The only way to be truly happy in a world like this is always to be casting your cares on God. When Christians fail to do this and try instead to bear their own burdens, they become unhappy. If only we will go to Him. The Lord Jesus is always waiting to hear and help us. He knows all about the trials and sorrows of this world, for He lived in it for more than 30 years. And He can make us truly happy. Whatever our outward condition, if we trust and call on Him. Prayer can lighten the heaviest cross. Prayer can bring light into your darkness. Prayer can bring comfort in the greatest sorrow and loneliness. I want everyone who hears these words to be a really happy Christian. But if you are to be happy, there is no more important duty for you to attend to that prayer. Now, the conclusion is this. Let me close with some advice to various classes of hearers. Let me speak to those who do not pray. Prayerless friend, I must warn you of your danger. If you die as you are, you will be lost. You are completely without excuse, for you cannot give even one good reason why you should live without prayer. Do not say that you do not know how to pray. Prayer is simply speaking to God. You need no education to pray, only the desire to do so. The tiniest infant can cry when he is hungry. If you are conscious of your need, you will soon find something to say to God. Do not say you have no place in which to pray. Anyone can find an adequate place if he really wants to. Do not say you have no time to pray. You have plenty of time, if only you are prepared to use it aright. Daniel had to deal with the affairs of a great empire, but he still prayed 3 times a day. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Do not say you cannot pray till you have been born again and have faith. If you lack these things, you must cry out to God for them. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Do not put it off. Salvation is very near you today. Do not miss it, because you will not ask. Now let me speak to those who desire to be saved, but do not know what to do. I advise you right now to the Lord. I advise you to go right now to the Lord Jesus Christ in the nearest private place you can find and beg him in prayer to save you. Tell him that you have heard that he receives sinners and has said, "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Tell him you are a lost sinner and that you come to him on the strength of his own invitation. Tell him that you are entirely in his hands, that unless he saves you, there is no hope for you at all. Ask him to deliver you from the guilt, the power, and the consequences of your sin. Ask him to forgive you, to give you a new heart, to put his Holy Spirit in you. Ask him to enable you to become his disciple and servant from this day and forever. Do all this today if you have any concern about your soul. Remember that he is willing to save you, for you are a sinner, and he came into the world to save sinners. Luke chapter 5 and verse 32. Do not stay away because you feel unworthy. The more ill you are, the more you need a doctor. You would not stay away from the doctor because you were too ill. Don't worry about the kind of language you use. Jesus will understand you. And don't despair because you do not seem to get an immediate answer. He is listening. Keep on praying and the answer will come. If you desire to be saved, remember what I have told you and act upon it. And you will certainly be saved. Finally, let me speak to those who do pray. Let nothing at all discourage you. You may often feel great discouragement. Your times of prayer may be times of conflict, but this is quite common, for the devil hates to see you pray. So you must go on. Let me then offer you some words of brotherly advice about your prayers. Remember the importance of reverence and humility in prayer. Think of who God is and who you are. Remember the need you have of the Holy Spirit's help in prayer, and be careful not to let your praying become a mere formality. Remember how important it is to pray regularly. You must see prayer as one of the most important activities of each day. And time for prayer must be built into your daily routine. Remember the importance of persevering in prayer. You will often be tempted to neglect your prayers or to cut them very short. This always comes from the devil, no matter how plausible the reasons for doing so might seem. Be earnest in prayer. It is fervent prayer which achieves much. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Remember the importance of praying with faith. We must believe that if we ask according to God's will, our prayers will be answered. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. You must expect answers to your prayers. Consider the importance of boldness in your prayers. I do not mean an improper familiarity, but arguing with God on the basis of his own word and promise. Remember the importance of asking God for much. How often is it true of believers that they do not have because they do not ask? James chapter 4 and verse 2. Be specific in prayer. Confess your specific sins. Pray for your specific weaknesses. Tell God your specific needs. Remember the importance of praying for others. Beware of letting your prayers become narrow and self-centered. Be thankful in prayer. We have much to be thankful for, and I dare not call any prayer a true prayer if thankfulness has no part in it. Finally, let me remind you of the need for watchfulness over your prayers. True Christian experience begins in prayer, it flourishes in prayer, and it decays with the neglect of prayer. Prayer is a kind of spiritual pulse. By it, you may know whether you are spiritually healthy. Be watchful over your prayer life, and I shall be very surprised if anything goes very seriously wrong with your spiritual progress. Now may God bless his word to us today. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, we give you praise, we give you glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you that everywhere your word encourages us to pray. Everywhere, O God, we see your people crying out to you. And we see everywhere, O God, that you are a prayer answering God. Heavenly Father, I pray today, O Lord, that your people will indeed be encouraged to pray. Heavenly Father, and I pray that as we draw near unto you in prayer, that you will draw near unto us, as you have promised in your word. Heavenly Father, I also pray that if there be anyone listening right now who are prayerless, who do not, in fact, have eternal life in them, O Lord, who do not have you for their Father, I pray, Father, that you will intervene. And I pray that right now, that they will be encouraged to cry out to you, and Father, in your great mercy, that you will hear them and that you will answer them. Heavenly Father, I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.